Today we're going to turn, please, in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we will read verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." And we're going to focus on these last couple verses from 18 to 20 here. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And, well, I don't know if you knew it or not, but all of us are supposed to be missionaries. Maybe my wife and I, tonight, we have the official title, we're under a board and whatever, but really, we're all missionaries. And what is the mission of the church? Well, somebody said it this way. For some, the church is a safe environment to hang out until the rapture takes place. For others, it's a place to teach men, women, and teenagers and children. For a few, it is a place to come and praise God while we're practicing to go to heaven. But really, our mission is to win men and women to the Savior. That is our mission. And it belongs to all of us. We were sent into the world to love the world, to seek the lost, for the glory of God. We are to love the world, even as God loved the world, and He gave His only begotten Son. And, you know, this context of the passage that we read, it takes place in Galilee, which was the dominant region of Christ's ministry, where most of it had taken place. And most believe that it was for a group of just about 500 people that he took and he gave this commission to, a place really of hostility near Jerusalem. But really, God saw fit to give this command to these people that really turned the world around. They turned the world upside down for Christ. And we should be a part of that as well. And it says, all power is given unto me. Talks about complete control. That God is our creator. It's so good to know where we came from, you know. In this world today, we talk to people and we see even people that, you know, we've been tried, they try to teach us that we were created with a big bang or whatever. Obviously, we know better than that. The scripture tells us that we were fearfully and wonderfully created by God. And that's what we believe as Christians. And that's who we are. And that's what God does. He created us. Not only that, but He sustains us. I'm talking in Colossians that He sustains all things. And Jesus is the one that sustains us. And also, all power, Jesus not only wants to be your creator, your sustainer, but He wants to be your Savior. And that's why He came, He died, and He rose again to be your Savior. He wants for you to acknowledge that you do need a Savior from your sins and that you cannot do it on your own. You need help. And Jesus is the perfect one to do that. All power. His power is unlimited and is free. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that does not have any anything that he cannot do. You know, it says, for men, nothing is possible. For God, all things are possible. And aren't you glad that we serve a God that no matter what it is that you're going through today, what kind of problems you're having or will have in the future, God is more than enough to solve your problems. And so we need to rely on that fact. Christ has sovereign authority and he's without limitations. He has absolute divine control of everything. Nothing that happens in this life does God go, oops, I didn't see that coming. He knows. He knows what you're going to be going through, what you're going through now. But he also is and knows the solution to all these problems. And, you know, problems are just opportunities that we have to get closer to God. There's two things that we can do. We can complain, but really, does that help? Not really. But the other thing we can do is we can get closer to God and we can acknowledge that we need help and that he's the only one that can help us. Who gave Jesus that authority? Well, God did. Let's look in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God gave Jesus that authority, and so therefore we can rely on whatever he wants us to do completely, because it's from God. It's from Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. So we have nothing to doubt on what he's trying to do for us and however he's trying to help us. And so this is why he deserves the preeminence in our lives. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, whatever it is that's going to happen, all these other things are going to fall into place when we put God first in our lives. He knows us intimately. Therefore, he understands what we're going through. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that knows you intimately? That's a scary thought too, okay? We can put a facade on and we can tell people, hey, I'm good and all is well with me and God and everything. But God knows us intimately. He knows what kind of relationship we have with him. He knows if we're absolutely being obedient or not. So we need to be careful. God is the only one that can help you. God is waiting for us with open arms for us to come back, just like the prodigal son. Remember, he went and spent all his riches and riotous living, and then his father was waiting for him with open arms. Well, God does exactly the same for us. God wants us to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for you. And so many times, don't we feel lonely? Don't we feel that nobody understands what we're going through? That nobody cares? But yet, God invites us. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And so, are you willing for him to be your Savior and your Lord? Will you allow God to have control of every aspect of your life? You know, so many times we say we do, but we don't. And you don't have to turn there. I will go ahead and read that for you. But we have really Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. We think we know it all most of the time. We think we've been through this before. We know how to handle things. And then when we make a mess of things, we say, Lord, I promise you, if you get me out of this one, I will do this and I will do that and I will do that. Well, you know what? God wants us to trust him always. But don't go to God as the last resort. Go to God as the first one that can solve your problems. And so we need to be careful with that. There's a clear command that says, go ye therefore. And as you consider that God is in control of all things, as you consider that there's nothing impossible for God, it says, go ye therefore. It requires action on our part. It literally means having gone. As you're in the process of already going, go and then do all these other things. The original purpose of God was really to have his people, the Israelites, his privileged people, go into all the world and do this. But since they rejected him and they failed at what God wanted them to do, God used this select group of people on that hill to give them this command and have them be the ones to turn the world upside down, because his people really did not acknowledge him. And some of them are still waiting for him to come. They don't acknowledge that the Messiah has already come. We have the example of Paul, the worst persecutor of the church. He was greatly used by God after he saw himself for who he was, you know, on the road to Damascus. You know, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you know? How did he know it was the Lord? He knew. And so do we. So many times we know what we need to do, but we choose to do our own thing, and then we act surprised when the Lord gets our attention somehow. And it requires the clear command to go. We need to be available. We need to be ready for service. We need to be in a position that God can use us. Are you ready for God wants you to do? Or are you still doing your own thing, and then you wonder why things are not going great in your life? Jesus was obedient to his Father. You know, even as a young boy, he was obedient to his Father, and we need to be obedient to our Father. 2 Peter 3:9, let me read it for you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, of some men have it for slackness, but it is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the will of God, that we should all come to repentance. And really, because of that, that is why we have been given this great commission. Because that God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. People will, because they will reject him. And because some of them might go because we are not doing our job of carrying out the Great Commission. And so many times we are the ones failing at that. The command to go is to everyone, regardless your age, gender, physical condition. It is to you. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's for you. There's no excuses. God is sovereign and in control of all things. He knows what is best for me. It requires sacrifice of time, of money, and loss of certain comforts, maybe, for you to go. It requires deliberately that you go and seek those who are lost. And when we say go, we're not exactly and always talking about going across the world. We're talking about going across the street and reaching your neighbor, reaching those who work with you that do not know the Lord. You need to go to them. You need to go to your unsaved relatives that don't know Christ. Go to them. That's where the command starts. And really, don't go across the world if you're not willing to go across the street to reach the lost for Christ. It requires that we fully and deliberately seek those who are lost. We need to go get them. We can't expect the unsaved people to come to church if we don't go out and invite them. Okay? That's not the way it works. So we need to make a deliberate effort for that to happen. It requires prayer. We need to pray that God would give us divine appointments during the week. Lord, give me somebody that doesn't know the Lord. Give me somebody to talk to give a tract to. Somebody that needs encouragement from the Word of God. It requires power from the Holy Spirit of God in order for us to be successful. And then it says, and teach all nations. What do you teach them? Well, teach them the truth about Jesus, that He came to save me from sin, from death, and from hell. The gospel is for everyone, the Jew first and then the Greek. The message is the same no matter where in the world you go or where in the world you find yourself. It's for everyone. Remember, make disciples. What are disciples? They're believing learners, followers of Jesus Christ. Remember the call in Matthew chapter 4. We ought to be fishers of men. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to teach them that Jesus came and to give us abundant life, life worth living, life with a purpose. Do you have a full purpose in your life? Do you know what your purpose is? Has God given you a purpose in your life? I hope so. We need to teach them the gospel. The gospel so that mankind has hope. The only thing that can give him hope in life is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teach him all nations by going yourself, by sending others to every corner of the world. That's how you can go yourself. The fields are white unto harvest. Here am I, send me. But most of the time our attitude is, here am I, send Joe. Okay? I'm too busy. I don't want to go. That needs to be your attitude. Here am I, send me. Make yourself available. Teach them that hell is a real place. You know, I think if we would get a grip on really what hell is all about, we would understand that we need to be deliberately telling other people about Christ. Because hell is an awful place. You know, we have the account of the rich man after he went to hell. Oh, please have somebody go and tell my brothers. It's too late, my friend. Let's do something about it before it's too late for us, for the people we love, for the people that we know that do not know Jesus Christ yet. Time is running out. We need to have a great sense of urgency. Time is running out for us. James tells us that what is your life? It is even a vapor that is here for a little bit and then vanishes away. How do we teach our nations? By reading, learning, memorizing, meditating, and studying God's Word. By preaching and teaching God's Word to others. by making disciples, by using God's word to instruct and to rebuke others in love when necessary. We do a good job of calling people attention. Oh, you're doing this wrong. You know, we see everybody else's fault but our own. But when you're trying to win somebody or somebody that already knows the Lord, we need to tell them the truth, but in love. We need to treat them like we want to be treated when we are doing wrong. We need to be sensitive to those things. We need to teach them by living a life that models Christ. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of who? Christ. We need to do that. By allowing the power of God to work in us and through us. That's how we need to do it. And then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is a step of obedience. It's an ordinance, and God instructs us to do that. Baptism obviously always must be done after salvation. And baptism is a step of identification with Christ and then buried with him and risen as we come out of the water, symbolizing what he has done for us. So baptism must be done by immersion. The word baptize obviously comes from the word to dip, to submerge, to immerse. And that's why we do it that way. And really, that's the example that Christ gave us when he got baptized. So anytime Christ gives you an example of how to do things, you don't have to debate how it needs to be done. It needs to be done the way God himself did it. And so baptism is also a step of serious commitment. It's not a matter of just going, getting dunked, and we're done with it. That's just the beginning of you being identified publicly with who Christ is, so that other people can point at you and say, hey, there's a Christian, I want to live like he is, like he does, because he follows Christ. But so many times we don't live the way we ought to live. And you become a disciple of Christ when you put your faith and your trust in him and become a believing learner and follower of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, you're my disciples if you do what? If you do whatever I have commanded you. Are you being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you following the Lord the way you ought to? It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Obedience to God's commands always brings blessing. You want to be blessed by God? Be obedient to God. Don't question God. Don't doubt God. If God commanded you to do it, trust it. Because that's what God is expecting you to do. And he's expecting me to do the same thing. We need to teach everyone the whole counsel of God. Not just the part that we like. There's so many things in the Word of God. You know, so many churches, unfortunately nowadays, that they don't like to preach about sin. You know, that might offend somebody. Well, I'm sorry. The Bible talks about sin, so we need to do the same. And so we need to teach the whole counsel of God. We need to trust and obey. We sing it, trust and obey, for there's no other way. No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But do we trust? Do we obey? I'm afraid that so many times we don't. Obedience to God's word guarantees that we will be successful in life. Let me read to you Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So if we want to be successful in life, we need to be obedient to the Word of God. That's what God is promising us in his Word, so we have no reason why to doubt that in our life. The Bible also tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Not only being afraid of God, but really being reverence of God and who he is in our life. The Bible also tells us that he that winneth souls is wise. Are we winning souls for Christ? Are we being wise for God as well? And it says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We need to celebrate his companionship, his commitment and care over all his children. God does all those things for us. God will be with us wherever we go. Be encouraged. You're not alone. But also be encouraged. But be careful. God is watching. You know, nobody else may know where we've been, but God does. You know, let's ask Jonah. He tried to hide from God. How did that go? Not too good. Well, we can't hide from him either. But God knows where we're going. He knows the intentions of our heart. Why do we do what we do? Is it to honor and please the Lord? Or is it because other people are watching and we just want a pat on the back? Hey man, good job. Well, we need to do what we do because God expects us to be obedient to him. He wants us to follow him. The promise of power of God is connected to his presence in our life. When God is with us, when we are walking in the light, God promises that he is going to give us power. He will help us and he will guide us. He also sent the Comforter to comfort us while he is gone. And so, if God is for us, who can be against us? Don't worry if people reject the gospel, because they're not ultimately rejecting you, they're rejecting God. God just wants us to be faithful in presenting the Word of God. The results are up to God, whatever he wants to do with that. But God wants us to be faithful in presenting the Word of God. And so we need to stay faithful and keep sharing it. Keep sharing the Word of God one-on-one or whatever chance we get. And the increase is up to God. When our life is on earth is over, those of us who are his children will be with the Lord in heaven forever. And that's something that we need to look forward to. Are you ready? If you had to go tonight to be in the presence of the Lord, are you ready to be in the presence of the Lord? Or would you say, no, Pastor, give me a couple more days. Let me fix this in my life. Let me do this. Well, if that's your case, start fixing it quick, because we have no guarantees how much longer we have. But live in such a way and expect Christ to come back anytime. So we need to live that way. And in conclusion, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? If not, would you like someone to show you from God's Word how you can have a personal relationship with Him today? Do you consider yourself a wise person? Are you participating today in the Great Commission? Or for you, is it the Great Omission, the thing that you are not doing? You are not sharing your faith. You are not winning souls. You are not being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you're not, you need to be, because that's what God wants us to be. So how many of you would say today, Pastor, I've been failing in these areas, but by the grace of God, I want to start to obey and to trust God for all my needs, and to trust God to go out there and share my faith with others, because I want them to know what God is doing in my life. And so that is my desire for us today, that we might be sharing our faith, that we might be really sharing what God has done in our life. You don't have to share every time 5-6 points of Romans. You have to share what God is doing and what He has done in your life, so that they can see that God is real in your life, and that they can see that even though we're all going to fail at times, but they're also going to be watching. Is this person going to get up? Is this person going to continue to follow Jesus Christ? Or at the first sign of a crisis, I got to do things my way. Well, don't do that. Let's let God do have His way in our life, and let's rejoice in the fact that we have somebody that can, He knows everything that we're going to have in our life, and He knows how to solve every problem that we're going to have. So let's trust Him. If He has brought us this far, He's going to see us through. So be encouraged, and let's get out there, and let's win souls, and let Christ be glorified in our life and in the life of this church as well. Let's end with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for everything that You do for us. We thank You for these dear people that have come out this evening, and we ask You that You might be talking to our hearts, and that we might be considering the fact that we need to be out there being soul winners for Jesus Christ, and being part of the Great Commission, and doing our part so that other people might have the opportunity to know Christ. So thank You for everything that You've done for us. And we ask You that You would give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to go on as we go home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.